way of recounting God's goodness to his people. And so as we look at this particular portion of this psalm, it's my intention to call you to give thanks, to encourage you to give thanks to the Lord by way of recounting his goodness to his people, even to you. And so let's hear from the Word of God, Psalm 107. I'll be reading verses 23 through 32. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Having heard from God in his word, please join with me as I lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word this morning. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever have a bad day at work? Ever have a bad day at life? Here we have some. An introduction that we get several times in our text. Some did this, some did that. We see it in verse 4, in verse 10, in verse 17, and now in verse 23. And these some were sailing at sea. Sailors weren't terribly common among the account of God's people in the Word of God. We don't really hear much about sailors in the Old Testament of the people of God. Of course, we know the story of Jonah and a storm there that sounds similar enough that when we had our twin granddaughters with us on Monday of this week and looked at this text in family worship, they got a little bit confused whether it was Jonah or the disciples in the boat or somebody in Psalm 107 because the accounts are so similar. But these were merely carrying out their business at sea, sailing at sea. And so you and I carry out our normal business. I don't know if any of you are sailors, probably not in Pittsburgh professionally. I guess you could drive a barge or a tow ship for a barge, but normal day-to-day life, parenting, schooling, whether teachers or students, running or working at a business, these sailors carrying out their business at sea, and it went south in a hurry. And there was a terrible storm. A terrible storm. And you see it in the text. They're tossed up and down. The waves go up and down. Maybe you like storms. Maybe you like movies about storms at sea. I don't particularly, but they are fascinating to watch. But they can be terrifying, even if they're make-believe. And this was terrifying. This storm was terrible. And so might be the storms you face in life. Unexpected storm. It was a normal day of business. Now, maybe they were used to storms. We're not told that. But here, they faced this terrible storm. A normal day at sea. And then the storm. So headaches and a doctor visit and a brain tumor. Or a normal pregnancy. And a little bit elevated blood pressure. A diagnosis of preeclampsia. And then timely early delivery. An untimely, early death. Or discomfort. And a doctor checkup. And tests. And cancer. We know either by the experience of our own lives or the experience of those we love what it's like to face a terrible storm. Terrible and unexpected. And you and I need to understand that our storms are our storms. It may be that our storms aren't as terrible as their storms, but they're our storms and they're terrible enough. And so on July 5th of last year, a normal bike ride to work that ended in the hospital, gutted, literally, left open for 24 hours while the doctors decided whether to take my kidney along with the spleen they'd already taken and how they could repair the damage to the pancreas. On the scale of world pain, it was probably a 1, but on the scale of Ed pain, it was a 10. Our storms are our storms. And so these sailing at sea, facing a terrible storm, were observing God's wonders and providence. They were observing it before the storm. That's really the sequence in which it were presented here there in verse 25. They were observing the wonders of God. And after the storm, we observe the wonders and the providences of God, but also during the storm. God is the one who brings the storm. God is the one who does wonders, whether at sea or whether at your life, in your circumstances, in your situation. Psalm 104, which we love to sing, how countless are your works, Lord. In wisdom you've made all of them. Here's the sea, vast and wide, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. I remember standing on the pier in Frankston in Victoria, Australia, and all of a sudden dolphins were swimming under the pier. Now, we were on the bay, and it wasn't unheard of for dolphins to swim in from the ocean, but it wasn't normal. But we observed the wonders and the providences of God before the storm and during the storm and after the storm. God brings the storm. The winds are stirred up here by the wind, by the word of God. Deep calls to deep. The roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your billows have swept over me, is the testimony of the psalmist. And it's the experience of these sailors. These storm winds come at the word of God. But again, as Calvin has noted, some who are facing these times of distress are facing them because of their particular sin. And so we see in verse 11, they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. We see in verse 17, some were fools through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities suffered afflictions. But these were just men at sea, carrying about their business on the waters, doing the things that they normally did. No discussion here of their sin. They certainly weren't perfect. They were human beings. And yet they were going about their work and observing the wonders and the providences of God. And so when the storm comes, asking the question, is this due to my disobedience, is a good question to ask. But the answer may well be no. And we may never know the reason, but we must know. You must know that the storms come at the hand and by the word of God. And hopefully, at least to a measure, you are now today in a moment of calm. And in this moment of calm, become certain that storms only come at the command of God. Because, like these sailing at sea, when you are in the storm, you are reeling and staggering. They can't stand still. They stagger like a drunk. It doesn't take much water to terrorize me. There are stories that I won't tell. But for these experienced sailors, this storm terrorized them. They were reeling and staggering. And again, you likely know this experience, or you know friends who have had this experience. You talk to friends who are facing a storm at life, and they may say something like, "We're reeling a bit. We're staggering a bit." And there's nothing sinful about being staggered by the difficulties and the storms of life. And it's not inconsistent to recognize the works and the wonders and the providence of God and still be staggered and still be reeling. And so these sailors were reeling and staggering. They were miserable and helpless. Their courage, verse 26 tells us, was melting away. They faced the same kind of sheer terror that the disciples did in the boat as they awakened Jesus and said, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" And he cares. He cares. But you and I may be like these sailors at our wits' end. All our skill is useless. We're miserable and helpless. Storms at sea, storms in life are going to happen. They're happening in your midst, as I know. Sickness is going to come. Untimely death happens. And lesser storms. Children are going to be fussy and dirty. Customers are going to be unfavorable. Employees and students are going to be unfaithful and destructive. Employers and teachers are going to be unjust and abusive. Co-workers are going to be corrupt. People are going to be sinners. And it's possible after the storm to work on ways to lessen the effects of the next storm, but often we have to realize that we just can't fix it. Storms come. And if you're taking notes, if you followed the words I was trying to emphasize, maybe you got storms, sailing at sea, terrible storm, observing God's works and wonders, reeling and staggering, miserable and helpless. Storms at sea are going to happen. I know many of you, but I don't know all of you, and maybe some of you aren't convinced that God exists. Maybe some of you aren't convinced that God is at work in the details and the difficulties of life. Maybe you say it's just bad luck or just bad karma. Well, you'll never find, apart from God, a reasonable explanation. And you will never find, apart from God, a reasonable hope. The best you can do is life is hard and then you die. And so to you, but also to you who are convinced that God is, and that God cares, and that God works, I offer, this psalm offers, that there is an answer to storms. So what can be done? Call to the Lord in your trouble. Call to the Lord in your trouble. That's one of those repeated phrases that Calvin urged you to listen to, children and adults alike. They called to the Lord in their trouble. Now, if you only call to the Lord in your trouble, that's a problem. Your life needs to be a life of calling to the Lord in joys and in sorrows, in daily normality and in distress, even when it's unexpected. And if you don't cry to the Lord, if you think you can fix it yourself, think again. Oh, you might be able to fix this small problem or that small problem, or at least you might be able to gloss it over. You might be able to hide the pain. You might be able to pretend that it's okay, but you cannot solve the storms of life. And so call to the Lord in your distress. The one who brought the storm is the one who can answer the problem that you find yourselves in, the one to whom you call in your trouble. And so on the night of July 5th of last year, as I lay painfully in an intensive room, intensive care unit bed, still open from a surgery several hours early, wondering if the morning was going to come soon enough. Not ever having that experience that we often enjoy at night, at drifting off to sleep, and yet knowing that I slept some because I awoke from time to time through the night. My night, again, world pain 1, Ed pain 10, was crying to the Lord in my distress. And I prayed all night long 3 simple prayers. Lord Jesus, suffer with me, because that's what Jesus does. Holy Spirit, help me endure the pain or take it away. God, deal with me as your weak, struggling child. And I prayed those 3 simple prayers all night long. And God was with me. The pain didn't lessen for several weeks. But call to the Lord in your trouble, and He delivers. What does the Lord do? Verse 28 brings you out of your distress. Always? Immediately? No. And we need to remember that. The storm might get worse. I have a letter from a friend. Got to know him during our time in Australia, though he was only in Australia for a short period of time. And he wrote me this letter a little while back. He said this. He said, "Yes, your God seems great, but it doesn't happen like that for us. I've seen my life totally disintegrate. Let me tell you of my heartfelt prayer of January 20th. I was moved spiritually and asked God if He was really there. I asked God if He was to do something that showed He loved me in a major way, something wonderful. On the next day, I received a phone call out of the blue from my brother to tell me that my wonderful and beautiful mother had just taken a heart attack and had double pneumonia added to it. She was taken to hospital and spent the next month getting worse. She then got better enough for the doctors to attempt a stent, which would perhaps have given her another 2 or 3 years of life. All seemed to be going well, but on the eve of the stent, she took another heart attack, and all the hospital could do was send her home for hospice care. I was able to say on the phone, 'I love you,' to this beautiful woman, and I heard a very weak, 'I love you too,' coming back. She died yesterday, now she's gone." And so Graham writes, "I love you, Ed. You're great. But I hate your God." With all my heart. The storms may get worse. And I can testify thankfully that this friend is not now in this place that he was when he wrote this letter. The storms may get worse, but deliverance will come to those who cry to the Lord in their trouble. We don't know if it'll be this day, or this week, or this month, or this year, or this life, but deliverance will come. God will bring His people out of their distress, either on this side or on the other side of eternity. And yet, perhaps you might say, or perhaps you know people who will say, "Well, this is only pie in the sky." Maybe you know the history of that phrase, maybe you don't. I didn't. It's from a song written by Joe Hill. It was a singer, a songwriter, a labor sympathizer, a cartoonist, an agitator, a wobbly. That is a member of the International Workers of the World Labor Union. And some view him to be a labor martyr. And he wrote this song, "Long-Haired Preachers" was the title. in response to what he viewed as an empty romanticism of the Salvation Army in their hymn in the Sweet By and By. And so he writes, "Long-haired preachers come out every night, try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they will answer in voices so sweet. You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die." That's a lie. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you know somebody that feels that way about answers that don't come today or this week or this year or this life. But it's not pie in the sky. It's the promise of a certain and sure God. And if all the problems were taken care of in this life and that's all we had, we would be like those who put our hope in Christ for this life only. And God tells us in his word that if that were the case, we would be more than all people to be pitied. You see, it would be worse to merely have the problems in this life taken care of. It's an eternity of deliverance that we will know and that we look forward to. He delivers. Call to the Lord in your trouble, and he delivers. And what does he do? He lessens the storm. Here he made the storm still. The waves were hushed. The storm was but a whisper. If you've been in a storm, you've heard the raging, and then to hear it cease, to hear it stop. And often, no one but God can lessen the storm. Certainly that's true of physical storms. We get a few thunderstorms around here. The next time we get one, just go outside and try to stop it. And I'd love to hear how that goes. Often only God can calm the storm. Whether it's a physical storm, or a figurative storm, a relational storm, a circumstantial storm. So hold on in hope, knowing that he can bring calm and that he will always do what is right. He lessens the storm. He moves you to peace and safety. He guided them to their desired haven, to a harbor of rest, a place of safety. When I was a boy, there was a radio program on Christian radio, Haven of Rest. I don't know, but I wonder if they took that from this psalm, this portion. He took them to their desired haven. And what a beautiful picture that is, not merely of God taking care of the troubles of life, but of salvation. You see, apart from the saving work of God, your life may be fine. Your storms may be minimal or non-existent, but your life will be empty. And when the storms come, if you're apart from Christ, there will be little or no progress. And even when the storm ends, it will not satisfy. This safety, this rest is only found in God, is only found in Christ. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you doubt this God, let me urge you, call to him. Call to Christ. Repent of your sin. Plead with him for his help and for safety. He will give you rest. No harbor other than God's in Christ will ever fully satisfy. No harbor, no place of rest other than God in Christ will ever fully satisfy. And when God moves you to a place of peace and safety, how do you respond? Well, the psalm calls us over and over, express your thanks to God. Express your thanks to God for his goodness. Don't just be thankful. Say that you're thankful. Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And then over and over we have this expression, "Let them give thanks to the Lord. Let them thank the Lord. Let them thank the Lord." Not just let them be thankful. Let them thank the Lord. I see some children here, and I suspect for many of you, your mothers and fathers are teaching you not just to be thankful, but to say that you're thankful. To write a thank you note to your moms or dads or grandmas or grandpas when they send you a gift. And it's pretty precious to have thank you notes from our grandkids cluttering our kitchen table. Say thanks to God. Express your thanks to God for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works, for His salvation, for His peace and safety. Express your thanks to God and declare His greatness. Verse 32, extol Him. The idea of the word is to raise Him up. And how can we who are so small raise up God who is high above us? Well, we do that when we acknowledge how high He is. When we gather in the assembly to worship Him, to declare how great and how awesome, how mighty our God is. And when we tell each other how great God is, exalt Him in the assembly. Maybe you wonder sometimes, what should I talk about after worship? Well, it may be one thing to talk about. Talk with each other about God and about His goodness, His greatness, His kindness to you. I'm sure for all of you who love God, you could tell me or someone else something God did wonderfully for you this week. It might not be on the wonder of a terrifying storm stilled. But if God let you go to sleep the last 7 nights and wake up the last 7 mornings, that's the wonder and providences of God. And so talk with each other about God and His goodness and His greatness. Storms will come, sailing at sea, terrible storm, observing God's works and wonders, reeling and staggering, miserable and helpless. Storms at life, storms at sea are going to happen. But here in the text, and throughout the history of the Bible, and throughout the history since the Bible, and throughout your lives and my lives, storms are calmed. Come to the Lord in your trouble, and He delivers. Lessens the storm, moves you to peace and safety, so express your thanks to God and declare His greatness. Storms calmed. God may bring the storm, but He calms it too for His people. And so lift Him up and give Him thanks. Join with me in your hearts as I lead us now in a prayer of thanksgiving to God. Our Father in heaven, how great and glorious You are. And Lord, You, by Your word and Your power, bring storms to our lives. Storms of tumors and early deliveries and deaths and cancer and bike accidents and stubbed toes, and splinters, and fussy children, and fussy parents. But God, You deliver Your people from the storms. You deliver us ultimately in Christ from the storm of sin. But You deliver us over and over in our circumstances from the storms at sea and the storms at life. And so may these, Your people, know with certainty that they can cry to You in their trouble and You will save them from their distress. And when You do, let them give thanks to You and let them talk with one another about Your greatness as they lift You up and worship You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.